Welcome to the show. Welcome to Orchard Park. Welcome to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Good afternoon, everybody. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio here for the next 3 hours. 3 hours. That's what we got. Steve, are you going to be okay for 3 hours here?
Yep.
Because here's the deal. We get done with this show and we're off for a couple of days. We get 2 days off. The bye week is here. The building is virtually empty here in One Bills Drive.
It's a ghost town.
It is a ghost town. But we're here to do the show with our crew, our wonderful crew here for the next 3 hours. And then we're off Thursday and Friday. Our next show after today will be Monday. So we got a lot of ground to cover today, a lot to talk about, a little bit of Bills news, and a lot of interaction with you coming up on the show. But
that's right.
Steve came in today all fired up about the Sabres. He went to the Sabres game with your son last night, and
yep,
you loved it, right? What was
I
the
did.
Final? 2-1, right?
2-1. It was the most anxiety-filled last 40 minutes of a hockey game I ever watched. We got up 2-0, and they came back and literally – that we score and I go, oh wow, that's awesome. We got a 2-goal lead. We're gonna, you know, they're gonna have a hard time getting it. My son said, he didn't even get the sentence out. He said, well, this team can score 2 goals in like 30 seconds, and he's, you know, say 30 seconds. Before he got 30 seconds out, that was roofed in our own goal and they were back in at 2-1. So I knew, you know, it was just, we were hanging on pins and needles, hanging on by a thread throughout the last 40 minutes of that game, right down to the last doink off the pipe. It was crazy. That was great.
Good time, though.
Absolutely great. In fact, the Instigators left me the Stanley Cup ring that they made for the Sabres.
What is that?
Now they beat one of the great teams. It's just tape. It's got a Canadian nickel.
A nickel.
Taped on the top of it.
What are you supposed to do with that?
It's a Stanley Cup ring, man. We're going to win one now that we've beaten one of the top teams in the conference in November.
Okay.
Listen, big win. It's a big win. Very nice for our guys.
Here's the thing. This
Very
is what amazed
nice.
Me most when you recounted stories of your evening last night. What amazed me the most was how quickly you made it from your home in East Aurora to your seats at KeyBank Center. How'd you do
30
that?
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
It's a 20.
Not talking drive, you know, hop in the car and 30 minutes later we're pulling up
and
outside.
And it's normal traffic, too.
You're in your seats.
Yeah, yeah. This is like normal traffic. It's like a 25-minute thing. Going, you know, you take the 400 and you just go to the speed limit, go along with traffic. And we have a thing where we go down coming from the south, and the 190 coming in, you go past the arena around a church, take a right, and you go down and park underneath the viaduct down there, underneath all the on ramps and off ramps, and then you kind of got to race walk, and you got to catch the parking right. We got a spot, paid the guy. We parked so far out, it's like $8, you know. Right at the arena, it's like 15.
Yeah.
So we're parked a ways.
Where'd you park? Up by UB?
Right. No. So we parked over – well, we parked a little closer than the old Lake of – the Garcia's Irish Pub. It used to be.
Oh,
now
yeah,
it's the
okay.
Pearl Street Bakery.
Pearl Street Grill.
Around, it's a little closer than – like 400 yards closer than that.
Okay.
So we're there.
Great parking spot for the odd.
Yeah, it was. So we get there, and it's only $8. So the guy's right there. We jump out, and we kind of race walk down, you know, around Canal Side, yep, around the new the Explore More Museum that's getting built there, and around the, you know, the outdoor rink by the train station, right in that corner. And we were late, you know, we were kind of hustling. So we went in, we go to the middle aisles where you get into the middle gates, you know, where they got all the gates that people are going,
yep,
in the arena.
Yep.
You kind of go by the scrum, and you go to the middle ones, and there's nobody in there, right? So we got in, we zipped right through there, had the, you know, the app with the tickets on, the one Buffalo app, like bloop bloop, throw the cell phones in the tray beside the metal detector, grab those up, grab 2 beers. My son went to the bathroom, I got the seats, he came down, sat down, we had to stand right back up for Dougie.
That's
singing the national
perfect
anthem. And it was gold, man. It was great.
High five.
And I think it was, and I don't know if we'd have made it if it wouldn't have been a network game, you know, because at MSG, you know, usually they're on time. I think they might have been a couple minutes late, but even so, we had the whole both anthems and all that, and we watched them
win.
It was very nice.
I don't know,
nice.
And I said this is a Buffalo thing, and this is being said by a Buffalo guy who appreciates what we have here. I would imagine there are not too many NHL or any other major professional sports venues you can go to where you can accomplish that. Live as far away as you do from the game and get there within a half hour and be in your seats within a half hour. That's a great thing about Buffalo. It really is.
And there might be a couple like...
Like where?
Maybe Nashville, Columbus.
Calgary? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Calgary. Yeah, Winnipeg.
It's just a great thing to be able to go. It's not
a day-long
slog to get there, taking trains. And
plus, though, too, we found as well, we don't always do it like we did last night because my son had some business stuff going on. And, you know, usually, you know, we go down, hit one of the places down there for dinner.
Sure.
And then just kind of stroll over there and catch a little bit of, you know, just relax a little bit.
You're a club guy.
Yeah.
Here's what got me thinking about it, though, your experience last night. So last Sunday, I'm in MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands. You've been there.
Yeah,
you know, up in the press box, big windows, all you do, you can look over the parking lots. And I got there early. I mean, we get there early. I was there. We taped our TV show. And so kickoff at 1, it was probably 10:15, 10:30. I'm just sitting up there sipping coffee, just looking at my notes, but mostly watching the crowd arrive. And I'm thinking, these people are here now 3 hours before kickoff. And look at what everything they have to go through. First of all, it's jammed, packed traffic out there.
Traffic's a crusher.
Bumper-to-bumper traffic. Who knows where they came from? Maybe they came from Long Island or somewhere in New Jersey. So they've been in a car for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Probably had traffic on the bridges getting there. Tons of traffic right here at the stadium. Tons of traffic when they pull in. Then they finally get to where they
assigned
them to park.
It's a rat maze in there, too.
In
you got to turn. You got to go around. You got to turn, go around again.
And I was thinking, look at these people sacrificing all this to see, excuse me for saying this, to see the Bills and the Jets. You know, not a premium game in the NFL, and yet these people have put in hours and hours of time and effort to get here. I thought, God bless these people for putting up with that to get here. And then, of course, they left when the game got out of hand in the second quarter. But it's just a lot. We ask a lot of fans. And we do it here, too, but I think less so in Buffalo, especially when you have an experience like that at T-Bank Center.
It is a little different in Buffalo. And I think maybe the Jet fans are the same and some other fans are, where they have the routine where they know how to get in and now they can expedite the travel process and the parking process. Because, you know, for Bills fans too, listen, for a lot of them, to varying degrees, the pregame, tailgate, parking with the same people you park with, seeing some friends and hooking up, that's part of the experience and part of the fun and part of the, you know, part of the price of admission willing to pay to go through that. That's part of the thing, it's the fun of it. And I think it's like that in a lot of different stadiums, but certainly here in Buffalo, I think it's accentuated. I mean, and it's set up for it, too. I mean, they got these wide open expanses. You go to places like Baltimore. They got those train tracks right by the stadium. There's that whole side of the stadium. It has like, they're like way off, you know, and there's no open areas where you can see, and there are people parked in small, you know, like in a neighborhood, right? Where there's no, where you can get vehicles together, make a little courtyard, and pop out the pop-up tents and all that. It's Buffalo's set up for it really well. Even better than Green Bay. I was in Green Bay last week, and I was surprised. They got some of those lots where, you know, you can spread out, and you see these people kind of camping out and doing their thing. But what has happened in Green Bay is the land around it has started to get developed. And there's always a neighborhood kind of atmosphere for it. But now you got a group of guys, like you got six buddies, and you're all prosperous. You're businessmen. You're in your 40s or 50s. And you're starting to get ahead of it a little bit.
Right.
So they all chip in some cash, and they buy one of the houses next to Green Bay.
I saw
next
some
to
of
the,
that
yeah.
a weeks ago. Yeah.
They buy the houses that are around there, like the Bills Mafia has done.
Right.
They buy them, deck them out, and now it's a tailgate destination.
Right.
And they all show up. They all pitch in. They renovate the house. They put some architectural stuff in it.
Right.
They got one place over in Green Bay where they made this house look like the stadium. You know, architecture with the brick and all that. And so there's some of that going on in Green Bay. So that's, to me, is a little, okay, yeah, it's not quite the old, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite the Norman Rockwell tailgate it used to be, right?
Right.
So there's some of that going on, too. So Buffalo, I think, is unique, not only for that, the fact that they still have these wide open spaces and people come in and they camp out, but also because of the fact, hey, man, you're in and you're out. I mean, it's been great. And last night, that hockey game was
perfect. Sabres win again. They won 4-0-1 in their last five home games. So the home games have been good for them lately in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the home game before this one was a stellar comeback overtime win. Oh,
well, I'm glad you had fun.
They're playing good. You're a Buffalo. I mean, we're lifers here, right?
Yeah.
I go out and about the country all the time. You tell people you're going to Buffalo, and I've had people actually kind of flinch when I tell them I'm going back to Buffalo. I'm like, listen, I don't have to apologize for being happy here, man. I know it's, you know, I love
nothing
it.
To apologize for.
I love it. They just don't know. I mean, they just take, you know, they can't, it snows there. Well, you know what? Okay.
We got a little snow today.
Yeah, let's see you shovel that hurricane when you're down on the South Beach, right?
Hey, we got a good show, and it's still coming together. Coming up in about 20 minutes, 12:30, Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, architect of the Bills' Super Bowl run teams, and, of course, won a Super Bowl with Indianapolis. Bill Polian's going to join us, still interested in the Bills. He talks, I think, a little bit with head coach Sean McDermott, advice and gives him his thoughts on the Bills. He was just here a couple weeks ago for the New England game, the big Thurman Thomas weekend. Bill Polian is going to be with us today at 12:30. Bill is also the man behind the Alliance of American Football, which last time I saw him 2 weeks ago here in Buffalo, he was telling me they have like more than 500 players under contract already. That's serious. We'll talk with Bill about that. That's coming up at 12:30. 1 o'clock today, another Hall of Famer. That's how we roll. Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back. We did not have him on last week. We'll have him on today. Get his thoughts on the Sabres and, of course, on the Bills and their victory in the Jets. And then coming up at 2 o'clock, Greg Cosell, who usually does Fridays with us. We have no show Friday. Greg Cosell will join us coming up today at 2 o'clock to talk about that. We have Bills news today. A couple of things. Kicker Steven Hauschka has been named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week for his performance in the victory over the Jets. 2 field goals, including a season-long 54-yarder, 5 extra points. Hauschka is playing great again. His field goal percentage, 93.8%, 5th highest in the league right now. Hauschka has hit his last 15 field goal kicks, Steve. He hasn't missed since his first kick of the year down in Baltimore.
Yep.
He's hit 15 in a row since then. I'm doing the play-by-play Sunday, and it was at 13 going into the game, and he's lining up for number 14, the long one.
54 yards.
And I'm thinking to myself, don't mention the streak here. I don't want to jinx him. I don't want to be the streak.
Listen,
so after he made it, I said, okay, that's 14 in a row, but I'm not going to be the jinx. So he's made 15 in a row, and when he lines up for his next one against Jacksonville in a couple of weeks, I'm not going to say it before
Murph,
the kick.
Murph.
That's a jinx. I don't want to be blamed if there's a miss coming down.
Listen, if you're talking about it, believe me, he doesn't know it and doesn't care.
Doesn't know that he's made 15 in a row?
No, doesn't know that you're talking about it. You have as much to do with that as
– I don't want any part of him not making it.
People think that, but I'll tell you this, though. That kick he made, that 54-yarder, it was a little bit heroic. He started that outside the upright, and it came back in. I mean, that
– He did that on purpose, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it
was
a little blow, you know.
Listen, that's
gusty wind.
Hausch money is just that. He is money, and you've got a really, and he's, he's a little. He might. I don't want to. I don't want to make this anymore. He's a little bit psychotic, man.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen him go through
his
routine?
Yes. How about this?
That's kicker weird.
I saw him do it Sunday. He'll go out there in the middle of a game during the television timeout, and the other team can have the football. There's no. He doesn't have a field goal try coming up in the next few minutes. But he'll go out there and stand around on the field during the timeouts and just kind of make a kicking motion.
And look plant his foot and stop.
He's probably talking to himself.
He plants his foot, looks down, stops, and gets – and even when he kicks off, he runs with his shoulders perpendicular to the line of scrimmage.
It's like a golf swing. He's got no body turn thing going on.
Yeah, he's kicker weird. I mean, you watch his – You know, people are watching the game stuff. He's off the sideline. You know, they have the kicking nets, and he'll kick into it, and he'll kick into it. A lot of times, he'll go there, and he'll approach the ball a half a dozen times, just walking towards it and just putting his plant foot down and just stopping and just, got, like, moving his hips.
Yeah.
That's a weird.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's effective.
Yeah.
The AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
That's, the best ones are always crazy in some way, shape, or form.
Well, Scott Norwood was a little bit off, right?
Hey, I'm not talking about kickers. I'm talking about even like defensive ends and who get 200 sacks and running backs.
You have
quarterbacks.
You're talking about certain people.
I've played with them.
You're
man.
Not
I've witnessed
name names,
it.
But I think you are.
I've witnessed it. They're all bent in some way, shape, or fashion. It's part of what makes them great.
A little bit about other news for the Bills. This happened late yesterday. Terrell Pryor, cut by the Bills yesterday, played 2 games, weeks 9 and 10. Targeted 8 times, 2 catches for 17 yards total in the loss to Chicago. Did not have a catch against the Jets last Sunday. Terrell Pryor, he was released by the Bills, signed with the Bills back on October 30th, and the Bills added a cornerback to their practice squad, Denzel Rice, who was most recently with the Cleveland Browns. Pryor, I think, caught some people by surprise. Steve, he hasn't been real productive here. But this is a guy who has bounced around. The Bills were his 4th team over the last 3 seasons. We had him on the show here. It might have been a week ago today, as a matter of fact. I found him to be engaging and intelligent. But for some reason, he can't seem to stick with anybody. And I don't know what that would be.
I don't either. It's a head-scratcher. He's very big for a wide receiver. I mean, he's like Julio Jones big.
Yeah.
He seems to have a work ethic about him. He certainly has an attitude. I mean, you've probably – a lot of Bills fans have heard the interviews that he did while he was here for the short time. It's interesting to – it's and I don't know. Maybe we can ask around, maybe sniff around, find out. And there's nothing that says it's the same reason why he's on all these teams and why he gets cut from one and gets signed by another or doesn't. But by the same token, he's bounced around like a ping pong ball around the National Football League, and it's a guy who seems to have a lot of physical ability. So it's an interesting question, and I don't know whether we'll ever get the answer to it or not.
He is gone now, Terrell Pryor. Part of it, I think, is more than about him, I believe, Steve. It's about what the Bills are trying to do. They're trying to get younger, even as this season moves along, even as they try to win a few more games here down the stretch, the final six games. Pretty clear when you look at who's out on the field the other day, you know, and even guys, Isaiah McKenzie just signed to the roster a week ago, gets a significant amount of snaps. Ray McLeod started the game, played a lot the other day. Robert Foster re-signed to the roster Saturday at wide receiver, started the game, caught a couple of big passes. Offensive line, Wyatt Teller gets to play. It's pretty obvious the Bills are trying to get younger. In fact, the other day, Monday, when he met with the media, Sean McDermott talked about that and said the youth movement, although he wouldn't call it that, he said the youth movement is real, and it's something they talk about every day here.
Brandon and I continue to talk about that, and there's some other young players that are kind of hanging in the wings right now that are working hard to get themselves ready to go. And you saw Levi yesterday, you saw Wyatt, and so we're going to continue to talk and look for opportunities to get some young guys, if they earn it, the chance to play.
So look for more of that, I think, in the remaining 6 weeks of this regular season. Look for more young guys to get a chance, Steve. There are other guys who have not played much this year who are likely to get looks on the offensive line, I think, in particular. They had Jeremiah Searles play some snaps a couple of weeks ago. He might get more of a chance to play. Guys on defense who might get more of a chance to play. Yes, he mentioned Levi Wallace, an undrafted rookie free agent. They're already kind of not turned the page to next year, but they want to know about some of these guys before they get to next year, and I think it's probably a smart approach.
I think so, too, and I think it's interesting, too, to find out, to understand and kind of contemplate what guys come off the field when the young guys go on the field, and also what changes happen as well. I thought the game that Zay Jones put together last Sunday was his best game as a pro.
I agree.
I think Isaiah McKenzie added something to the team, and they were running plays that you see the Kansas City Chiefs running with fast guys. They got a lot faster. Sean McDermott made a big point about getting faster, get some speed on the field. McKenzie was brought in just for that. Robert Foster was probably activated just for that reason, and it paid dividends. It even showed up when Andre Holmes got his catch down the sidelines and got inside the 10-yard line. We've been talking a lot about all the things that the Buffalo Bills have been doing to try and get better, not just now, but also now with the fact that all these speed guys are young. They're starting to look towards the future. They're starting to find out about some guys so that when they hit the offseason this year with a $95 million of free agent money to spend and 10 draft picks to grab, they're going to know exactly what course to take, and they're going to be more productive and more successful in their choices.
Chris Brown wrote about this at BuffaloBills.com. According to Chris, there are 27 players on the current Bills roster who are 27 years old or younger. Buffalo has 12 starters who are 25 years old or less. That's significant. Now, the Bills, when you look at just the numbers, the roster itself, one of the older rosters in the league, mostly because they got three 35-year-old guys, Kyle Williams, Lorenzo Alexander, and Derek Anderson. But the young guys are starting to make their presence felt and starting to assume bigger roles for this team, and I think there's going to be more of that in the weeks ahead. All right, we have a Twitter poll up today. We want to get you involved in that, get your thoughts on this question. Pro Bowl balloting is open. It opened yesterday. The announcement for rosters will come about a month away, Tuesday, December 18th. But from now, right now, until Thursday, December 13th, you can vote. Go to ProBowl.com and vote for your favorite players to go to the 2019 Pro Bowl. The game itself, Sunday, January 27th. Players for the game determined by a consensus vote of fans, players, and coaches. Each group's vote counts one-third towards determining the 88 players who will be selected for the Pro Bowl, and players and coaches will vote by Friday, December 14th. You can vote now until December 13th. We got thinking about it yesterday. As difficult as this Bills season has been, it gets your attention when you look up and see they're the number one defense in the NFL. And we want to know from you on the Pro Bowl ballot in the underway. This is our Twitter poll. Which Buffalo Bills player would you vote for if you had to only choose one to make the Pro Bowl? You can participate in our Twitter poll. You can give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free at 1-888-552-550. Which Bills player would you vote for to make the Pro Bowl? On Twitter, we've already got about 450 votes in. Tre'Davious White has a big lead. 55% of you on Twitter say Tre'Davious would be your vote for the Pro Bowl. 19% say the kicker, the AFC Special Teamer of the Week, Stephen Hauschka. 18% say Jerry Hughes. 8% have somebody else in mind. Let us know what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. I think Tre'Davious White is the odds-on choice. I hope he makes it. I think he should. I think he has a lot of respect from coaches and players around the league. That accounts for two-thirds of the vote. And maybe not as much respect or even notoriety among fans, right? I mean, average NFL fan, you say Tre'Davious White, do they know that he plays for the Buffalo Bills? Do they know that he's essentially a lockdown corner now and the teams barely throw his way anymore? I think that would work against him, but the coaches' vote and the players' vote, I think, will go decidedly for Tre'Davious White, and that would be where my vote would go, too. Tre'Davious would be my number one choice for a Pro Bowl performer on the Buffalo Bills roster. What about you, Steve?
I agree, and I think it'll show up in the player-coach vote. Fans, not so much. I mean, certainly Bills fans are going to vote for Tre'Davious White. But, you know, I think the thing that he has going for him the most is two things. One, he's on the number one defense in the league. And two, he had a sensational year last year as well. And what happens in this league is that you have this great year, and it's like, is he good or is he winning? You got to do it again. And then they go, wow, he is that good, and they send you the second year. There's no question Tre'Davious White is a top-flight elite corner in the league, and I'm sure that the coaches and players are going to reward him by voting for him. That doesn't mean he's automatically into the Pro Bowl, but certainly he's that caliber player.
Do you think – and I do think this, so I'll phrase the question this way. The Bills are going to have trouble getting guys in the Pro Bowl because of their record, right? Because of their record and because of many of their losses have been so one-sided, right? So lopsided.
A little bit. I think it's a factor. I don't think it'll be a factor for the fans, no question about it, for the fans outside of Buffalo. Buffalo fans will know they've got some defensive players that certainly deserve to be there, and I think the coaches and players will know as well. But that, you know, but fans around the country will be dismissive of anything the Bills do on a national level.
Yeah. What do you think? Who would you vote for the Bills for the Pro Bowl? You've got a couple of weeks to do it. Voting is open now. Give us a call and discuss. We got a call here from Bob in Pennsylvania. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, John.
Hi.
I would say Matt Milano would be my choice. I look at him as like Charlie Hustle, a playing linebacker. Gives it all, leaves nothing on the field. I know the preseason didn't off to a robust kickoff, but if you look what he's done and the body of work that he's been in there, and the games that I've seen and listening to the accounts by the good accuracy of yourself, others within the organization, I'd have to say Matt Milano would be my choice.
It's a good choice. Milano, you know, sharing the team lead with two interceptions. He's made some impactful plays. He's done he had a great game against Minnesota. And it was a while ago now, way back in week three, but Steve and I were both participating in a project for the website that forced us to look back a little bit as far as some of the outstanding performers, right? Steve, you and I both looking at that. Let me find my response because here it is. On Milano, I wrote this. Milano against Minnesota. 8 tackles, 1 sack, 1 interception, 1 fumble recovery. I mean, they held Minnesota to just 14 rushing yards. Milano against Minnesota was an eye-opener for me. And does he have the sort of national and NFL notoriety that might get him to the Pro Bowl? I think that's doubtful. But I think he's had a couple of games, including last Sunday against the Jets, that would have to get people's attention. I think he might get some consideration for Pro Bowl. What do you think, Steve?
I do, and I think also the fact that Milano seems to make splash plays, that catches the eye of a lot of people. Even the teams that he played against, their fan bases. He did some things against the Patriots. He obviously had the good game this last week against the Jets. He had a great game against Minnesota. So the plays that he makes seem like fumble recoveries, forced fumbles, interceptions, and sacks. All of those things go into the consciousness of people who are voting. And they tend to expand on those and think, well, that guy's really playing. And when he has been productive, no question about it. So I think, yeah, Milano's a guy that catches the eye of a lot of people has been really productive this year. So, yeah, that's a good vote, I think.
All right, what do you think? Which Bills player would you vote for to make the Pro Bowl? We'll get this discussion going as we move through the show today. Most of them are going to be on defense. We acknowledge that. But we'll read your tweets on the tweet sheet and take your calls off the air, too. On the air, rather. Which Bills player do you think merit consideration for the Pro Bowl? We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Bill Polian, Hall of Fame, former general manager for the Bills, talking about some Bills issues and some other NFL issues. That's coming up next. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live for One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Live from One Bills Drive, bye week here in Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills. Players off until next week. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, this is our last show of the week. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, good friend of ours, good friend of the show. Happy to have Hall of Famer Bill Polian on the line with us. Hi, Bill. It's John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. We wanted to have you on and see if you had been able to keep track of what was going on up here in Buffalo. We've got a little bit of both ends of the spectrum going. We've got the number one defense in the National Football League and an offense that's struggling. What have you been able to watch any of the Buffalo games and keep track of the franchise like that?
Yeah, I sure have. I think, you know, the idea that the defense is number one is not a mirage. It's a darn good defense, and it's exceptionally well coached. And, of course, the offensive issues derive from both the quarterback position and offensive line issues and you know, basically not a plethora of skilled people, but that'll come. Rome wasn't built in a day, and as you remember, Steve, as we went through the growth process, we weren't a four-time Super Bowl team right off the bat. It takes a while.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's nothing but good things happening from my perspective.
Have you had a chance to talk with anybody like Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean? I mean, do you have a relationship with those guys? Have you reached out to them?
I do. Yeah, I do, and I reach out every once in a while and talked to Sean recently. Just wanted to congratulate him on how things were going, and you know, just from just one man's perspective, just saying, hey, things are headed in the right direction. Don't be discouraged. Not that he ever is, but you know, just keep working. You're on the right path, and to me, that's pretty obvious. The record doesn't always indicate what's been going on, and if you look at how the team played last week, you look at how they played against New England. I mean, they're really playing hard. They're playing smart. They just need to get some playmakers on the offensive side of the ball.
You were here for New England, right? You must have seen stuff.
I sure was.
Yeah, you must have seen stuff in that game that you liked, Bill, the way the Bills played the Patriots a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. I mean, they played them almost, on defense every bit as well as Tennessee played them.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to generate enough offense to when you're playing against Brady and company, you have to be able to score. Your offense has to keep the pressure on them as well as your defense bottling them up, which is no easy task, and they just weren't able to score enough. But that'll come. I mean, you have to. Rome wasn't built in a day. They inherited this. Brandon and Sean inherited a lot of dead money and a lot of people that didn't perform to the contracts that they had, and they had to make changes, and they did. That's the hard part. And now, you know, let's hope the young quarterback continues to develop and you fill in some spots on the offensive line and a little more depth in the offensive backfield and get some playmakers at receiver, and pretty soon things are really looking up.
Yeah, I was thinking about team building the other day, Bill, in relation to the Bills, and, of course, you've done it at a Hall of Fame level for more than a couple of teams in the league. The Bills have built their defense successfully with draft picks and free agents and, as we said, number one in the league right now. Can a defensive coach like Sean McDermott do the same on offense? Can he I mean, if they apply the same principles and the same, you know, ideas they have in building that defense to getting offensive players, not that there's any guarantees here, but could they be successful building offense as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Marv first came, everybody said, well, how can he be successful? He's a special teams coach.
Right, yeah.
Well, we had the guy, your partner there, was a big part of making us the best special teams unit in the NFL, but we were pretty good on offense and defense, too. If you can coach, you can coach, and if you can build teams, you can build teams, and Sean can do both. He's made, in my view, excellent additions and excellent subtractions. He's gotten the kinds of people that play as hard as this group does on a consistent basis, and the offensive side of it will come. It's usually the last thing that comes because it's triggered by the quarterback, and then secondly, you do have to have some people around him too, right? And the receiving core is not as deep and not as explosive as you'd like.
I wonder your thoughts on Josh Allen. A lot of us here are looking forward to him getting back in the lineup, maybe as soon as next week after the bye, and moving forward with him. What could we look for from him? He started five. If he plays out the rest of the season, he'll have six more starts. What should Bills fans look for signs of progress from Josh Allen, Bill?
Well, you're looking for signs of progress, exactly that. Getting better in terms of operating the offense, getting better in terms of making decisions, where to go with the football, getting better in terms of taking care of himself when he's running with the football. Unfortunately, he's learned the lesson in the National Football League that this isn't college. You can't run over guys any longer. You got to take care of yourself and be smart when you run the football. Slide, get out of harm's way. All of that, I think, will come. And then it'll be a little while for him to develop chemistry with the receivers. That's going to take another off season, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. But as long as the arrow is up in terms of recognizing defenses, taking care of himself, taking care of the football, then, you know, he'll have benefited greatly from what experience he's had this year, including overcoming injury. That's all part of the process, too. Mm-hmm.
So you've been keeping yourself busy with the AAFL. How is the development of the new league going? I know it's going to be a very, very busy offseason, well, an NFL offseason at least, for you coming up in February.
Right? I'm at our quarterback camp right now. We've got all the quarterbacks under contract here in San Antonio working out, letting the coaches all see them and get an idea of what we got. So and it's running like clockwork. I'm amazed. Our staff did a phenomenal job putting this all together. It was great to walk into a stadium today and see football players, and this is the first step down the road, and it's fun and exciting.
February 9th is the kickoff, I believe, for the Alliance, Bill. How do you allocate those players to the various teams?
Well, they're allocated three ways, really. The first is where they played college football, so that, in theory anyway, they're familiar with the fans are familiar with the players. The second is where they played pro football. So, for example, Buffalo players would be allocated to a certain team in the league, and in our league. And then the third would be via a rights list like the Canadian League. If a player is unallocated via college or unallocated via the NFL or the CFL, then you can put him on a rights list on a first-come, first-served basis. We've signed over 650 players right now, and we've had nary a slip up with that system. It's worked very well, and judging from what I can see on the field thus far, the talent's pretty evenly distributed around the league. We'll have our quarterback draft. Everybody else is allocated, but the quarterbacks will be drafted. We'll have that on the 27th of November, I believe.
Who's the league open to?
It is open to anybody, as long as you're eligible to play pro football, as long as you no longer have collegiate eligibility, then you can come and try out, and we're happy to give you an opportunity.
Is there a fear or anything that you'll have young players coming out of high school or whatever sign with an agent and just turn professional?
No, no, we won't take those players. Essentially, our eligibility rules are the same as the NFL. You have to be 20 years of age. You have to have had 3 years of collegiate, 3 years out of high school. If you have collegiate eligibility remaining, you're not eligible. Essentially the same as the NFL. We won't take kids out of high school or even take kids that drop out of college. That's not what we're in business to do.
Bill, I have another question for you about the Alliance. We were talking about it with our crew here today, and I guess wondering about the mission statement. Do you view the Alliance as a somewhat of a competitor to NFL football, or is the goal? I mean, what's the mission statement? Is it development? Is that what you're looking at?
Yes, absolutely. Development and entertainment. But we are absolutely not a competitor to the NFL. If anything, we want to be augment the NFL, and we want to be a friend to the NFL. That's our purpose, is to hopefully provide good, solid football entertainment for people in our markets, and then provide players the opportunity to go to the NFL. That's why we have a NFL out in every one of our contracts. If a player who's working out here today, for example, gets a call to go up to the NFL, he can go with our seven blessing. We want to develop players for the NFL. We're not competing with them.
I just want to let our listeners know that the Bill talked about the quarterback draft. It is November 27th. It is 8 p.m. on CBS Sports Network. It'll be televised live, right, the quarterback draft, in a couple weeks. Two weeks away. Yeah.
How many teams, how many players on the roster, how many total players are going to be in the league at this point?
Well, right now we'll have 75 per team. There are eight teams, 75 per team going to training camp. Then we'll cut to 53. We'll have 43 and one active on game day, the one being a third quarterback, and then 53 active players. So essentially the same as the NFL.
Hey, Bill, I have one more question for you, and this deal maybe back to the NFL from your role as a analyst at ESPN. Just your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell this week, and maybe what he thinks he accomplished by holding out the entire year now, and what will happen next for him in your estimation?
Well, there's three things that can happen next. The first is that the first is that he could sign long-term with Pittsburgh. I wouldn't put the odds of that, you know, very high, because if they haven't reached agreement now, they won't. It's not likely they'll do it in January, but he theoretically could. Secondly, the Steelers could put the transition tag on him, and do a sign and trade. That's possible. Third, and I think this may happen, Pittsburgh may argue, because he sat the whole season out, that his contract tolls, and that they could put the franchise tag on him again next year. That would bring about a legal proceeding, a litigation. I'm sure the union would challenge that, and I'm not sure who would win in that situation. It's kind of uncharted waters. And fourth is, Pittsburgh could walk away and say, hey, you're entirely free. Go ahead, seek your fortune wherever. One of those four things is going to happen, and we'll have to wait until February to find out.
Did Bell make a giant miscalculation here, do you think, Bill?
Oh, we'll know, John, based on what his market value is come next March, if in fact he's free next March. Yeah. That assumes, obviously, that he would be free. Then we'll find out what his market value is, as opposed to what Pittsburgh may have had on the table for him. Only time will tell whether he made the right decision or not.
Now, one of the things that's on the table and came out during the lead up to the 4 o'clock deadline yesterday was the fact that is a transition tag, or maybe if they franchise tag him again, they're looking at an enormous jump in what the number would be. This year it was $14.5 million, and now if they do it again, it turns into like a $25 million paycheck. How does that work?
Well, you're conflating the two tags, and this is boring as can be, but let me see if I can sort it out. On the one hand, if the contract tolls, meaning that this year didn't count essentially toward free agency,
right,
and because he didn't come in, then they would franchise him at the quarterback number, which is $25 million or so. That's too high, probably. The other alternative, whether the contract tolls or does not toll, is that they could put the transition tag on him, which is considerably lower, and then they would have the right to match any offer that he got from any other team in the league. But with the transition tag, he could go and seek an offer. If they chose to match, then they could effectively match and trade.
If they do, what are the draft picks involved? Do they get compensation if they refuse to match?
If they refuse to match, no. The transition tag doesn't carry compensation with it, no.
Okay. Hey, Bill, thanks for sorting through all these issues with us, and thanks for keeping an eye on the Bills. Seriously, you're an invaluable resource for us, and we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here today. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad to do it, and, you know, I'm pulling for the Bills. I'm hoping that and I'm convinced that this is the right path, and we got the right people in charge. And I know it's tough for the fans to be patient, but if you do, the rewards, I believe, are going to come.
Can't wait. Thank you, Bill. Thanks, have a great Bill. Holiday. We'll see you soon, I hope.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bill Polian, longtime Bills general manager, Pro Football Hall of Fame, now ESPN NFL analyst on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated.
The guy's not even working as an executive, and he's like, he explained all that right down to the letter. He goes,
and he warned us it's going to be boring.
It's going to be boring. Plus, he also said if this happens, it's going to be a legal proceeding.
Yeah.
He says they all. It's amazing that, you know, he keeps track of that, and it's nice to know too that he calls every once in a while to encourage Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and likes where this team is headed. Sometimes when you're like you and me, Murph, when we talk about it all day, every day, it's hard to take a step back and see the big picture once in a while.
Yeah, and Bill's paying attention. I mean, he was here for the Patriots game. I saw him at an earlier Bills game this year. You saw him last week in Green Bay.
Green Bay working the radio gig for ESPN, and I had a chance to chit-chat with him a little bit before the game and after the game, and it's always great to see him.
Yep. Good to hear from him, too. We thank Bill Polian for joining us today on the show. We see another Hall of Famer coming up in a couple of minutes. Thurman Thomas is going to join us on the line. Greg Cosell joins us at 2. We're talking Bills football here today. We want to know from you, Pro Bowl, which Buffalo Bills would you select for a Pro Bowl appearance this year? Give us a call. We got phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Just wrapped up with Bill Polian a moment ago. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Pro Bowl voting underway from now until December 13th. Want to hear from you. Which Bills player would you vote for to make the Pro Bowl? Who you like? Who do you got? There's we got a list of three on our Twitter page, and Tredavious White is the leader. 55% of you say Tredavious would be your selection for a Bills Pro Bowl performer. 20% say Steven Hauschka. 18% say Jerry Hughes, 7% have somebody else. What do you got on the tweet sheet there, buddy?
T-Manny, 22. Well, you'd think the number one D in the league that at least three or four guys will make the Pro Bowl. It's no secret that Trey leads the list. He's been in the shutdown cornerback all year going against every team's top guys. Hughes and Lorenzo should also be in as well. Tim Donovan chimes in. One man gang, 97. That's Lorenzo Alexander for sure. He's the heart and soul of this team, along with Kyle Williams. Matt Milano, again, if there's anyone on this team that's having a Pro Bowl year, it's him, in my opinion. A lot of people have brought Matt Milano. He didn't even make the list that we put out. Not that our list is, obviously, there's 50 other guys you can list other than the three we did.
To create discussion.
But Matt Milano is one of those guys that has made some splash plays, and I get that. The interception, and I haven't heard anybody mention this, the interception Milano got against the Jets down the sidelines in the deep throw, I haven't heard anybody say anything about Jerry Hughes. Did you see what happened on that play at
No.
the front? Jerry Hughes absolutely makes the left tackle whiff.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
And I mean, he's running right down Josh McCown's grill. I mean, he is on him. I mean, it was a great pass rush that he didn't get any credit for because, you know, McCown had to throw the ball up for grabs because Jerry Hughes was breathing right down his grill. And that really led to the bad throw that Milano picked off. Jerry Hughes was, I mean, the move he put on the left tackle of the Jets was exquisite. I mean, it was great. And it led to Milano's interception. Milano down the field, good ball controls. And, I mean, Jerry Hughes literally almost could not have sprinted to the quarterback faster than he got there.
You know, going into last week, and I haven't updated it, looked at it this week because we don't have a game this week. Going into last week, the folks at Pro Football Focus listed Jerry Hughes as the third most effective pass rusher in the league in terms of quarterback pressures. Third in the league. Third in the league. He was behind the guys you might expect, I think. I got to look at it.
Khalil Mack.
No, it wasn't Khalil. It was D. Ford was number two. I forget who was number one. D. Ford from Kansas City was number two. Maybe it was Khalil. Let me look that up. But pretty amazing, I think, when you think about what and again, this is on a team that has not had much success this year, which is hard to get attention when you haven't had much success and too many wins.
It's interesting, too. The Bills' defense is, I think, it's way better than it's even advertised as number one defense. There's only five teams that have had more plays to face than the Bills' defense, which means the Bills have played more defense than anybody, which means they can give up more yards because the other teams have more opportunities, more big plays, all of that. You just, you know, give up more plays. And they're the number one team in the league. All the rest of those teams are ranked in the bottom four, five, six teams in the league for the amount of yards they've given up and all of that. The Bills' defense has faced as many plays as anybody except for those six teams and has outplayed all of them. Given more opportunities to fail or give up more yards. They have really been stellar. And they've done it, and one of the reasons for that is because they've done it without any complimentary football. Now, certainly they got some help this last week against the Jets, but let's look at the games they've lost where, you know, the offense has given up fumble recoveries for touchdowns, pick sixes. They're getting, you know, all this stuff's happening to them offensively that is, you know, fumbling it in their own end. And the defense has really risen up to it and gotten to the top of the NFL heap with absolutely no help from their offense. And it's been an amazing year for those guys. And I know we joke about it all the time. I thought they're going to be a top 10 defense, and I thought they would be good. But man, they're really better than good.
Yes, number one in the league right now.
They're better than good because they had a lot of things stacked against them, and they have been awesome through it all.
All right, a break here. We're going to break for the top of the hour. When we come back, Thurman Thomas will join us, Hall of Fame running back, get his take on the Bills over the last few weeks. Come on back for that. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, coming to you from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.